If you have your Bible, a familiar text as we finish up this season, Luke chapter 2. Actual text is verses 19 and 20, but let me start a few verses ahead of that in verse 16 to get the story set. So they hurried off, the shepherds, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The calendar, December 26, in small print, at least on my calendar, says Kwanzaa begins and Boxing Day in Canada. I wish I knew more about Kwanzaa. I wish I understood more, and maybe I should do some more research. It's a fascinating holiday season. And Boxing Day, I understand it, a day to box up items that you received on Christmas Day that you don't want. We don't all do that. We just smile and play like we want it and put it in the closet, never to use it again. But others use Boxing Day as the day to box up things that do not fit, that you do not want, that when the family's not looking, you return to the store and make up an excuse on why it's all ripped to pieces and you don't have a receipt, but you want to exchange it. I can't think of a worse day to be a retailer than today and tomorrow. Boxing Day. Well, in our home, in our third floor apartment, it is Boxing Day. It is the day today when we begin to box up all of those Christmas decorations. Now, it's not bah humbug. Don't think that. It's just when you live in an apartment, you've got to box it up. It's had us captive. We've been boxed up, surrounding by all of that stuff. So today we box up Santas and angels and nativities. We box up boxes that we should have never kept in the first place, and we box up paper and box up bowls. The tree is coming down. And just this morning, I said, "Really, I think we can push it over the balcony. If we push it hard enough, I think we can do it. It will not hit the cars, and it will not go to the second or first floor balcony. I think we're going to try it. We'll let you know how that turns out." Tree boxed up, and it's real. It's going in the parking lot. And the outdoor balcony lights and the door wreath. Advent is over. Boxed up. Trailwood storage. Here we come. I'm kind of ready for 2021 to end. COVID, tornadoes, tragedies, politics, you know, all of that stuff of this year, let it go. But Advent, maybe not so fast. For I still need the words, the themes. I still need the spirit of Advent to linger. This morning, like Mary in the text I read, perhaps we need to pause and ponder. Or like the shepherds, though they returned glorifying and praising God. So let's pause and ponder. Let's glorify and praise. Hope. As I shared with the kids, and as we've shared this month, it all began with hope. Hope, it's Well, here's how Paul described it in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character brings hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom God has given us. Yes, I read that verse over 4 weeks ago. Hope. Hope is more than wishful thinking. Our hope, your hope, comes from a higher place. It's more than logic. It's more than common sense. Our hope is from Jesus. Today, and really in all the days ahead this year, we need hope. We need a hope renewal. We need a hope revival. We need hope as we come to this new year. As a church, we must cling to hope. And as families, we need hope. And as a nation, we need hope. And our world is in desperate need of hope. And may we not ever forget that real hope can only be found. Real hope can only be found in Jesus Christ. You can look for hope in the government, whatever promises they make, and there's a lot of promises out there, you're going to be empty. You can look for hope in the words of politicians, and you will be empty. Or even hope that's offered by well-meaning friends and family, and even the church, will often disappoint. But real hope, Advent hope, real hope is found in Christ alone. Romans 15, the very last verse, verse 13, Paul said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Real hope. Pause and ponder. Rejoice and glorify in hope. But not only do we find hope in Christ, but aren't you glad for the peace? A peace that we can't even really understand. Peace. Peace is special accord with God. Peace comes from God. And I'm convinced we will never know peace or live in peace and experience peace apart from Christ. Tomorrow I will officiate a funeral here, Mr. Cooper. And Wednesday I will be in San Antonio officiating a funeral. And I know on both of those occasions, these days right after Christmas, I will reflect on Jesus' words, where Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be overwhelmed. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And at the end of John 14, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, or not like the world tries to give, but my peace I give to you. And just as John began chapter 14, he ends chapter 14 by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Peace. How many times did the shepherds in Luke's gospel or in Matthew's gospel, how many times did the angels, not the shepherds, did the angels say, don't be afraid? They said it to Joseph. They said it to Elizabeth and to Zechariah. They said it to Mary, and they said it to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. But peace, peace be to you. 2 years ago, I did a monologue at Christmas from Joseph's father's perspective. A couple of weeks ago, I did the monologue from Mary's perspective. Mary had such love that came from Jesus. But when I think of peace, I do often think of Joseph. Can you picture what he went through? The angel came to him and said, yeah, guess what? You're going to be the baby daddy, kind of. And Mary is going to be. We can't even imagine. First of all, an angel appearing, saying that type of news to this old man Joseph about the one he's betrothed to. It's going to have a child conceived of the Holy Spirit. To me, Joseph will always be one who had a peace that only God could grant, a peace that truly surpassed all understanding and comprehension. And God longs to give us, every one of us, that same peace today and all the days ahead. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God truly longs for you to live in peace? We try to visualize peace, the bumper sticker says, visualize peace. People love to talk about peace, and we even sing about peace. But is it real? Do you have it? You can. In Christ. And of course, there's joy. Don't take joy to Trailwood Storage. Don't do it. Take your boxes, take your trees, take your wreaths, but don't take joy. Now remember, joy is not happiness. Happiness is always tied to stuff. Happiness is tied to circumstances, but joy is so much deeper and constant. Happiness is based on these outward circumstances, that things that occur in our life, and we say, I am not happy at all. But joy is internal. Joy is inward. Joy can only real joy can only come from Jesus. I've shared with you before, and she's given me permission to share about our daughter, Adeline. She has struggled with anxiety and definitely periods of depression in her life. As parents, we didn't see that, and we didn't know that. And she went to Baylor, and we thought, at Baylor, it's all joy, and it was for us, and we thought that it would be for everyone. You know, you forget about the tests and the exams and those crazy professors, but it was just joy. But Adeline had difficult years during her Baylor years, but she sure loves Baylor football, basketball, volleyball, soccer. She loves all the Baylor stuff. I don't know where she learned all that, but her Baylor years were difficult. Today, Adeline's 26 years old, will soon be 27. She serves as a preschool minister at a large church in Waco. Has been there 5 years. And I'm so grateful that she had the ministry of a compassionate counselor, that she was able to receive the proper meds. And she has a wonderful support group of friends and peers. But oh, the struggle she had. And in the midst of that, she said, you know, Dad, my hope, though the meds help and the counseling has been great, my real hope is the joy that I have of Christ deep within, and I can't explain it. I'm not always happy, but there's always joy. And so, lest she forget, she had joy tattooed on her wrist. Didn't bring me much happiness. I always told my kids, get a tattoo and I'll get an electric sander. I said, if joy's in within, why did you do it? Well, it didn't bring me any joy. And yet she knows that outward expression, that outward expression is just outward. That real joy comes only within and only through Christ. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. Is that a command? Is it a good idea? Be joyful always. Is it a New Year's resolution? I don't know which of those, if any. But I believe it can be a prayer. It can be a prayer that we would pray, oh God, help me find and live in the joy that only you give. God, let me be one who prays continually. Oh God, help me to give thanks in all situations. Joy. And finally, love. I think I said last week, if not, I should have, that I would be all right if the Advent candles only had three: hope and peace and joy. I would be all right with that, because I think that all of them together culminate in love. I think that love is just a part of all of the Advent, that in Christ is there is such love. Now, I don't have to explain much to you about love, because if you're a part of the congregation of First Baptist Church Lufkin, I think we get love. As a church, we sense the love of God whenever we gather. And though we may disagree on this or that, there has always been in my relationship with you and in this church a deep sense of love, and we celebrate that love week by week, and we live in that love. And that love finds its essence and its meaning. It finds its all from God who gave us Christ. And I just shared it last Sunday, but hear it again. John wrote, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, Since God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and that he is in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in him on that day. In this world, we're to be like Jesus. We love, John continues, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God but hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us this command: anyone who loves God must love God. Others. Yes, love is present. Christmas Eve, not that it's not this morning, but there is something about a Christmas Eve service that love just fills the room. The love that God has for us, the love that we have for him, the love that we have for each other, may we never take it for granted. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, how deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And Mary pondered all these things and held them in her heart. And the shepherds couldn't stay at the manger. They returned, but they returned rejoicing in glorifying God. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Don't pack them up. Go ahead and head over to Trailwood or AAA storage, or go to your attic, but don't pack Advent away. Last week, I met with a couple who was as low as any couple I've met with in a long time. Life had brought them some tragedy, some despair. They were filled with anger and confusion. They were left with questions and doubts, trust. And I didn't have any answers for them. I didn't have any answers. One would talk and one was silent. And one would cry and both would cry. There was such anxiety and just deep hurt and confusion. And all I could do really was just listen. I think that's probably all they needed, was for just someone to listen. And as I went to leave them, I asked them the question. I said, are the themes and the words of Advent, are they just words? For this couple, they'd been in worship. They knew about hope and peace and joy and love. And I asked them, is it just a game we play? Is it just something we're supposed to do, that every year at Advent, following Christmas, the preacher brings out the candles and we light a candle, and the children gather and we light a candle, and the next week we light a candle and we light a candle, and then Advent's over and we put them away? Or is it just something we do? It's a good tradition. It's what we're supposed to do. It's the same basic text I use every year. It's the same basic story. Are they just words and themes? Or is it real? To that couple, I said, if hope is really in Christ, at times that's all we have is hope. And if peace is more than just a scripture we read, And is joy really more than a song? And is love really love? I hope it is. I believe the themes and the words of Advent are more than themes and words. They're great gifts to us from God. Aren't we glad that when Advent is over, that we hang on to that hope, that peace, that joy, and that love? Don't pack it away. We'll need it this year. Shall we pray? And so, Father, we leave today. Some of us going home to box up things, and others going home to celebrate Christmas today, or some will celebrate it tomorrow, and some may have started even boxing things up yesterday. But God, you have given us Christ, and with Christ, you've entrusted us to go and tell it to others. For there are a lot of folks in Lufkin who still don't know the story. There are folks all over this nation who have celebrated Christmas, but they have no idea of the gospel message that will change their life. There are pockets and places around this world that have never read that God so loved, and they've never heard the gospel message preached. So we must go, and we must tell, and we must share over the mountains, everywhere. Jesus is our hope and our peace and our joy and our love. May we take that and may we share it over and over again. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.